Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ broadcast. Well, the last couple days I've kind of been meandering, and a couple days ago I promised that I was, as I read a testimony from a brother writing from San Rafael, he commented that the Lord was his shepherd who gave him guidance every day. Amen to that. But I shared by reading Psalm 23, that beautiful shepherd psalm. It's sung many times or spoken many times at memorial or funeral services, but it is perhaps one of the most attractive and comforting psalms because it speaks of the great care and concern of our shepherd. David was a shepherd boy before he was raised to be the king of Israel, and he probably composed this while he was out there tending the flocks. He says of the Lord, because he understood the importance of a shepherd to a flock of sheep. They're not very smart, I understand, and they're easily frightened, and to feed properly and to be cared for and to be healthy, they need comfortable and secure surroundings. And that is why he talks about still waters and green pastures where they are able to be nourished and to be refreshed and not to be fearful of predators or things that would frighten them or scatter them. He goes on in verse 3 to say, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I promised we were going to spend a little bit of time on that verse. We see that he's committing to the Lord and declaring of the Lord that the Lord is leading him in a pathway, that we are all pilgrims on this earth. Is that not true? We are, regardless of the length of time that God will give us, sometimes it's very short. Some folks go home relatively early in life, and others are living to advanced years. In fact, I have a partner whose mom is 102. And another one, she spoke in her church. There was the mother of a preacher who was 104 years old. And how wonderful is that? Amen. Especially if they be found in the way of righteousness, which in their case, that is true. So we can rejoice that God, for His own namesake, for His glory, it's not our own efforts, it's not our own works. I was going to share testimonies, and while people are writing and they're appreciative of the ministry, beloved, let me tell you, it is only because of God's mercy and God's grace, not only what He's done in my life, but His desire is to reach out to you and transform your life. It's only because I am experiencing the transforming power of the gospel in my own life and my heart, as well as Brother Glass, who's now been with the Lord for over 20 years, has been to see God's people be the vessels of honor, the manifested son and daughters of God, who God has ordained before the foundation of the earth to do those good works that He has beforehand ordained that we should walk in. And so He's leading us in the paths of righteousness to bring glory to His name, because we certainly didn't do it on our own. Amen. We couldn't even get our own life straight. We needed Jesus. And I trust you can say that. I know I can speak very emphatically and very authoritatively about my own life. Of course, I thought I knew everything there was to know when I was 19. And of course, I had a very great amount to learn in the natural and certainly spiritually. It wasn't until 10 years later I finally committed my life to the Lord. But he goes on in verse 3, he said, He restoreth my soul. And I'm going to get technical a little bit here, but what does that word restore mean? He restoreth my soul. Why is this important? Because many of you are in that process right now. The Lord is restoring your soul. That Hebrew word restore is shub, and it means to turn back, to turn oneself, to turn around, to return, to lead back, to refresh, to draw, to bring, to give back, to answer. The basic meaning of shub, this Hebrew word that's used there, is movement back to the point of departure. Now, what does that mean spiritually? It means that God, when he saw you, before he brought you into this earth at such a time as we are now living, regardless if you're young or old, God ordained for you to be alive in this generation. Goodness, sometimes I think it would have been far easier, you know, back in, sometimes I think the pioneer days, but no, they certainly didn't have it easy. Back in the time of Jesus, well, no, they certainly didn't have it easy either. So regardless of whatever age we find ourselves born in, at the Lord's wisdom and providence, there were many challenges at all times. And yet God is bringing us back. There's a movement of the Spirit of God bringing us back, our soul back to the point of departure from that perfect creation that he designed us to be. He restores our soul. What's that word? It's nefesh. Nefesh, it's a breathing creature. I may be not pronouncing it right. I don't know Hebrew or Greek, but it means the breath of a man or animal. It is respiration, life, soul, spirit, mind, a living being, a person, self. And the King James Version uses this this word, nefesh, in 28. Imagine that, 28 different English words to translate this word. Most of them are closely related concepts, which break down to a few basic meanings. More than 400 times, nefesh is translated as soul in English. Many people today think of this noun in a metaphysical or theological sense. And here in the West, unlike that of the Hebrew conception, their conception of man was the inner self and the outer appearance. In other words, the inner man and the outer man. And the inner person was the nefesh, and the outer person was reputation or name, which is Shem. So in today, we, in our understanding, and of course the New Testament talks about in Thessalonians, body, soul, and spirit, each being quite distinctive. Now, other translations, let me share them with you. The modern language says, he revives my soul. And beloved, while I do read other translations, I'm not an adamant King James only, but I love the King James, and I found many, many years ago in my own personal study and preparation of messages that there was an authenticity to the King James that I found lacking in many of the other versions. And for example, modern language, he revives my soul. Well, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to be revived, but that's not quite the same meaning as restores. And in the Living Bible, it says he restores my failing health. Well, when we hear that, it's kind of just physical, but there's emotional areas of need. Is that not true in our lives? That's what he's doing in many of your lives, in my life. The Amplified says this, he refreshes and restores my life or myself. Well, there's some authenticity to that. The Rotherham Version says, my life, he restores. Now, let's look at a secular definition of restore and soul or nefesh in the Hebrew. According to Webster, restore means to give back, to return, to put back into existence or use, to bring back to or put back into a former or original state, to renew. And according to Webster, soul is a person's total self, man's moral or emotional nature. Now we say generally the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. In the New Testament, the term psyche, which is soul or life, follows many of the usages of the Old Testament. For example, in Matthew 10:28, let me turn to that. These are the words of Jesus. And he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, referring to his Father, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. he goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? The very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Praise God. And so here we see in that reference in Matthew, the 10th chapter, that men can kill the body, but not the soul. Nothing is more precious to man than his psyche. In Mark 8, verses 35 through 37, the Word of God tells us, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. Nothing is more precious to man than his psyche. It is beyond price, or his soul. It is beyond price. And yet by seeking to guard it, you can lose it. And by losing it, you can save it. One of God's strange ways of explaining truth is so opposed and opposite to that of the world. In Psalm 19 and 7, the New American Standard says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Isaiah 57 and 18, I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and his mourners. And Jeremiah 30 and 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saying the Lord. And those physical as well as emotional soul wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. My. And one more in Joel 2:25, I'll restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. Praise God. And so I just want you to know, beloved, we're all on a pathway, we're all on a journey from here to eternity, and our good shepherd, your good shepherd, is watching over you, and he is restoring your soul. He's leading you in the paths of righteousness for your specific walk, for your way in life. And with that, I think we can offer him great thanksgiving and love for his carefulness and love and concern for us. As always, I close the broadcast with an invitation for you to write and share your prayer needs. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. I may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,